Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got a lot to go through today. I am going to finish up with what Thomas Jefferson did when the Congress back in their day actually regulated speech and passed laws that said you couldn't say certain things, just like Congress did last week. We're just in the last couple, two resolutions of the Kentucky resolutions of 1798. But I will kind of go through some of the marketing news type of stuff today as well. We'll do that before we get into the resolutions. And then tomorrow, I'm going to, you want to make sure you tune in tomorrow. Do you have a cell phone? If you have a cell phone, if you've got a smart meter on your home, if you can't wait for the 5G technology to get released so that you can do all sorts of neat things, you're going to want to hear the interview I have tomorrow with Orlean Kula. And I'm just taking a stab at her name. It's Orlean, that's right. But she has a German last name, and it's kind of hard to pronounce. But I think it's Kula. Anyway, we talk about the effects, the radiation that is emitted from these things and so forth. And you're going to get blown away. Do you have kids that have a cell phone? I think that state legislators need to probably pass a law that children cannot have cell phones, and that only adults, because adults have to make the decision whether they want to expose themselves to that type of harmful, damaging emissions. But we'll get into all of that tomorrow, and hopefully Orlean's listening to this today. I will, as I come up with these types of ideas, because, you know, really, if you think about it, it is abuse when you allow your children to expose themselves to really harmful substances and so forth. I mean, we have laws about contributing to the delinquency of a minor, right? I mean, you can't just go and parents can't let their kids get drunk. I hope most states have laws like that. But when you look at the damages that come from this, and as a matter of fact, her book, which is what we talk about primarily, it's Whoa Nelly, 5G Dangers and the Deception of Powerful New Wireless Technology. It's not just about the 5G, even though the 5G is going to cook us at a different rate. You're already being cooked, and there is an alarming, a really big alarming trend that is being suppressed by the mainstream news media, as well as technology, as well as government, and they're all being paid off by these cell phone, cell communication corporations and so forth. Anyway, before I continue down this path, let me pull up and let's get on track here. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. It is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that exposes you to the process. Republic Review is a process. And you know, having an engineering background, I'm all on board, and I embrace process improvement. So if there's a way we can improve the Republic Review process, you know, then by all means, let me know. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. I will be following up on the resolutions. I still owe you my tribute to President George H.W. Bush. And I need to get back and finish the militia information that we provided. I will tell you this, In that short conversation I had yesterday, and because it was only about 30 minutes, and that's a short conversation. When you start talking about the Constitution, that's a very short conversation. But anyway, with the gentleman that is the chair or the person in charge of the DHRC, the library, and so forth, I mentioned to him how we're completely violating the role of the militia in the Constitution and how we are not abiding by that, that we have completely ignored that. We're militarizing federal agencies, bureaucracies. We're militarizing municipalities. We're militarizing county sheriffs instead of having a militia and a good, well-organized militia. And so... It's really sad to see how far we have slid. That's okay. We're going to get back on track. I'm still the ever faithful and ever hopeful optimist. Let me do a little bit of groveling. If you want to get involved, if you want to help with Republic Review, if you want to be a leader in your county, in your state, if you want to get involved in this process, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. There are a few different processes that are going on out there that are actually engaged, you know, directly engaging immediate change. Republic Review may take, a year or two because we have to wait till the next election. The reason why we have to wait for elections with Republic Review, and this next election is going to be huge, 2020, because that is, you know, it's only during the election time where we can actually put pressure in getting rid of the current representatives who are not willing to live up to their oath, and we're going to make them sign pledges, and if they don't sign the pledge, we're going to vote for the guy that does. And if they all refuse, then we're going to try to find somebody prior to the filing to make sure that everybody signs the pledge so that we know in advance to the filing that we've got somebody that is willing to put themselves into the furnace of hell, excuse the expression, but willing to go into, you know, that den and roll up their sleeves and work at getting compliance to our Constitution. So there's the Constitution Club at constitutionclub.ning.com, and then there is our first right, and I think it's ourfirstright.org, but just go to my website, reclaimingtherepublic.org, on the podcast page, and Erin's information is right there. We had her on, I think it was last week, I'm pretty sure. As I'm getting older, time seems to be flying by and I'm having a short-term memory problem. And that could be, by the way, that is a sign of damage from cell phones and being cooked by these waves. Same thing with Alzheimer's and same thing with dementia. I remember there was a big... stir on aluminum, cooking in aluminum, that was causing dementia and Alzheimer's. But that I'm not sure if that has been completely rebuffed or if there's still some things to that. But they are saying that cooking your brain with these waves is definitely contributing to dementia and Alzheimer's. So there's another way you can support us, by the way. I would be remiss if I forgot to tell you that you could go to our crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe and contribute. And your contributions are going to pay for the travel expenses that we're incurring at this current time to get this stuff kickstarted. We ask that you just go look, read the information, and just contribute. I'm already going to have to put up what it's going to cost for the next trip, and I'm going to get that done probably in the next week so that you can see how, you know, where we are in covering those costs. And we would be honored and humbled if you would contribute. And thank you so much if you do. I want to go ahead and leap forward. We have checked, and there is no news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, or powers. And as you know, That means that we can't quit. We can't find a new job. We have to stay engaged in getting the federal government to comply to the Constitution. So with that, I'm going to try to give you some motivating reasons, not that all of this government tyranny we're living under isn't enough motivation. If you believe in the Second Amendment, don't think for a second that your Second Amendment and 14th Amendment protections aren't under scrutiny and under fire. They are pushing forward some bills in Congress. Now, they're not going to go anywhere because the Senate won't vote for them, but these are political phases. They float these ideas that they think, oh yeah, we'll be able to sell this in the court of public opinion and get the sentiments. Just like Hillary Care went out with this concept that we need to insure everybody. And next thing you know, what was it, 15, 20 years later, we have Hillary Care. There you go. And so we call it Obamacare, but it was the same thing. You ought to give her credit for socializing our medicine because she's a socialist. And, you know, what really bothers me is I go into what I would say conservative communities, into their Facebook pages and so forth, and somebody's talking about whether it's homeless or some other issue. And it really doesn't matter what the issue is, but I keep on finding it okay to those conservatives in these pages that it's okay to, you know, think that socialism and, you know, like housing homeless or, you know, these other socialist types of programs are good. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Is this a paradox or what? I'm at a hard break, so we'll be right back, and I'm going to get into a little bit of marketing, and then we'll get into Jefferson's resolutions as soon as we get back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Before I go any further, I need to do this because I don't do it all the time. I know I didn't do it yesterday. I want to thank you for tuning in. That is one definite way of supporting us and supporting this message, because as we maintain a high number in the rankings and so forth, people start taking notice. More importantly, as you listen, I think you will learn and find that there is a lot to this program, And I believe that you will be happy and more than willing to help promote and share this program with others that are like-minded, that are looking at what the heck's going on with our federal government. And if you look at what they're doing to our Constitution and this republic, you should be infuriated and you should be, you know, right behind all this stuff and getting other people engaged and so forth. You should be on the crusade for constitutional compliance, the three C's, right? Anyway, and that's the key word right there, folks. Compliance. You can say it with me. Compliance. Doesn't that sound good? That just sounds right, if you know what I mean. Anyway, let me then dive into what I think are some kind of interesting things. And actually, this is something that's not necessarily in the news, but it's this information is starting to come public. And thanks to a conservative entertainer, he's got a video out. His name's Mr. Reagan. At least that's what he goes by. And he is entertaining. I got to admit, when I watched this video, the video, basically, he makes this attempt of proving that Oso is a communist fraud, and she is, especially as he goes through all this information, because the organization behind Oso actually admitted that, you know, they put her into office. But anyway, here's the interesting thing. Well, actually, I was going to tell you, in watching the video, it kind of reminded me of the Twilight Zone, the way it shifted back and forth, the way he talked and, you know, controlled the remotes of the cameras and so forth. And you could tell they definitely did some editing to kind of keep, you know, everything on pace so that you just, because I think it's like 20 minutes long, the video, and it's worth watching. Because he sets a very good argument up that we are dealing with a very dark and evil organization. Here's the interesting thing, though. This organization is doing something very similar to what we're doing. We're basically going into the Republican and conservative parties and demanding or trying to get them to recognize and realize that they need to shift and stand on the Constitution. They need to put away their agendas and get rid of agendas. They're doing the exact opposite. They have an agenda and they're driving the communist agenda. And they are looking for a radical communist change in America. They're hoping to get enough dolts, useful idiots, your kids, and the rest of the communists in the Labor Party, or the Communist Party, which we call the Democratic Party. Anyway, he points out that this organization is getting these people that don't know anything and having them completely dependent. And he proves really well how when Oso the communist is on message, when she is reading the teleprompter, when she is following the script, she sounds very logical and very intelligent. She's articulating really well. And when she gets off script, she is pretty bad. In other words, she says a lot of stupid things, and you could tell she kind of, you know, like me sometimes, you know, reaching for the next word because it's just not in the script. And so what you'll find is this organization actually successfully planted three people into Congress who had no notion to run, had no desire to run. What they did was they screened people on their marketing looks, you know, the looks, behavior, demeanor, and so forth. They had 10,000, I think, nominees or candidates that were sent in. And Oso the communist, here's the ironic thing, Oso the communist didn't even know her brother sent her into this organization. And they called her up and she became a finalist. They spent money, they got behind her, and they helped her run. So everything that they talk about and everything that they do is the fundamental background. And he, like I said, he sets up a really good argument to prove that she really has no ideas. She could easily gravitate towards communism. I mean, anybody can, you know, statism, get, you know, centralize that, government controls that, going down that path of full tyranny and full despotism. I mean, I think that anybody could become a despot very quickly. It takes a very intellectual and a liberal minded, when I think liberal, not the classical definition of liberal, not the current communist definition of liberal, but a liberal minded, intelligent person would be, you know, champion individual liberty, individual sovereignty. And that's what a real leader does. They don't follow the agenda and they move into the directions that take us towards expanding individual powers and individual sovereignty and individual liberty and so forth. So anyway, the name of this organization is called Justice Democrats. If you haven't heard of this, go check them out. You will find that the Justice Democrats are a very evil organization, and they are, instead of getting people to comply to the Constitution, they're getting people who don't know anything, that are completely dependent on them and their agenda, for them to write. These people are the ones that wrote the bill. The New Green Deal, the New Green Deal bill was done by her, these people that, these Justice Democrats and her, supposedly, her staff. And this guy exposes a lot of really good information. I would just recommend you, if you know who Mr. Reagan is, go check him out. Anyway, another thing that's in the news, and I don't know if you really believe this. I think it's hard to believe that elitist millionaire Hollywood types and moguls and so forth just got caught actually using their money to pay millions of dollars to get their own kids into elite schools. You believe that? People with those kind of means would use that kind of money to do that? So apparently the feds caught them, and I don't know if anybody's going to do a perp walk, but I think what they were doing was illegal, and I'm not sure if they were using the schools as a facade or if they caught both the schools and the parents in this entire scam, but either way, That's what we're dealing with, and that's the mentality of these global elitist communists. Anyway, let me get into another story. You know, there's lots of people that are huge Second Amendment supporters. I'm a constitutional supporter. I support the entire Constitution, just not a couple things. And so Dick's Sporting Goods, if you haven't heard, Cabela's and a few others have come right out and said, we're not going to carry any more hunting rifles, any more guns or anything. They're just dropping guns. So Dick's Sporting Goods basically come down this path of saying, we're going to do the same thing, removing these guns. And so what I believe is going to happen is, because you can't go get the discounted guns and ammo and so forth, what this will do is drive all of your business. And if you're not doing all of your business already with a small ma-and-pa gun store, then that's what you should be doing anyway. Because those folks, everybody in that store, completely align with the Constitution. There's nobody there that is, you know, thinking, oh, we want to, you know, arm all the people to, you know, take over D.C., get rid of the Constitution, and institute the 10 planks of Marx's 10 planks of communism, right? So what you'll find is that these stores that are taking their discounting out of the marketplace is going to drive people into the buying from these stores and so forth. And I know it's not going to be as cheap for you anymore, but I'm telling you that you should be putting your money where these people who support your ideals in the first place. You shouldn't be going to Cabela's. You shouldn't be going to Dick's Sporting Goods. These guys are globalists. These guys are progressives, and they're using your money to supporting the, you know, causes that promote progressivism. Here's the problem, though. Most conservatives, because I've dealt with it at a local level for a long time, these gun stores, they don't advertise on conservative radio shows like my local one and so forth. They need to start recognizing that they have to start contributing as well, supporting something. Don't just sit there and take money home and be the capitalist. The difference between conservatives and the communists is the communists are all in. They spend as much money as they possibly can in promoting the cause in taking over the world. While you and I, most conservatives, don't look at it that way. But we need to change our paradigm. We need to start throwing money into these conservative things. And that I'm going to come right back around and say, hey, I'm asking you to save a couple of dollars a week so that in 2020, you can at least help contribute to some of these campaigns I'm going to be begging you to support, because these people are going to make the changes we need so that Wyoming and some of these red states can start standing up and saving your blue butt state, because they're going to destroy this Constitution, and the only thing that's going to save it are the red states. And we don't have a lot of time. I know lots of people that go, oh, you know, we can turn this area around. We can do this. I'm telling you, with the way the education system is and the way they're pumping out these kids, they're outnumbering you. And they've already outnumbered us here in Washington. And if you have hope in some blue state, I'm sorry. We need to really throw everything into these red states. I'm at a break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So there's another thing I wanted to get into, and this is ad targeting. Do you remember the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where they had this precognitive like oracles floating in water, predicting crimes and so forth? And in the movie, they had targeted marketing. In other words, as you walked along through the stores and so forth, there were all of these video marketing, like televisions and what have you, flat panels all over the place. And they were using automatic target requisition or face identifications and that type of thing, where they can identify who you are as you're walking along, and they keep track of you. And what they're doing with this targeted marketing concept is they're throwing very specific ads at you where people are paying extra money to do that. What's going to happen with these targeted marketing schemes is that you're going to be barraged by the big money spenders, whether that be whoever you shop with, Macy's or Dillard's or Nordstrom's or Walmart, whatever. And they're going to be throwing you the ads of and products that you might be looking for. You already see this with social media, where they're already selling the information of what you are looking at. That's one of the reasons why I do not have connectivities between my email accounts, my other accounts, social media accounts. They're all separated so that they can't keep track of me and I don't get bombarded with a bunch of, you know, targeted advertising. See, what happens with targeted advertising is that you're only going to start seeing very specific things instead of actually being informed about new products, new concepts, or even things that are going on. People like myself that are going to be throwing marketing ads out there, we're not going to be able to rise up or be able to put ads out so that you can see something that you might go, hey, you know, that sounds like a pretty neat deal. Like when we do ads for our rodeos and telling you that we're actually going to try, you know, we're trying a novel concept. We want to introduce you to a concept of having our public servants, complying with their oath of office. And in that, you know, compliance, that's how we restore our constitutional republic, that type of stuff. Well, how do you get those ads if when they see you, oh, you're looking for these products and so forth? They're only money driven. In other words, as most ads work, and like with online and everything else, when you start clicking on something, you want to go down that path, they get paid. But informational ads and so forth, they don't necessarily get paid. Those are usually just a flat fee or what have you. I don't think like when I know for a fact that Facebook and some of these other social media providers out there, they will help, you know, target your campaign ads, but that's just a flat rate. They expose it out on these pages when people go there, but they're not targeting. And so they're not actually going out, and especially if you're going after a set demographic or what have you. And the fact of the matter is this is a huge disservice, because what's going to end up happening is those who have more money to spend in advertising and paying by the click will be able to start dominating more and more of your marketing. So you're going to find that everything you would want to buy, even though you'd never shop there, everything you want to buy at Walmart is at Walmart or Amazon. Now, if I had a choice between the two, I would be buying everything from Walmart instead of Amazon. And that's strictly because Amazon is spending their money in moving the world in a direction I don't agree with. And that goes back to the just like the gun shops. I spend my money on those people who still support and not trying to ram down my throat subjugation and global governance and so forth. So let me get into a couple of quick climatology things, and then we'll hopefully dive into the resolutions. The climatologists are claiming now that 8.8 million people died last year from air pollution. So here's the thing. How do they know this? Is that on the death certificates? Because they don't even tell you that you died from cancer, let alone anything else. They just say this was the cause of death. How did they know that 8.8 million people died from air pollution? That's a good question. So they're making a lot of conjecture and presumptions. Another thing about the climatologist that I found really interesting, and don't tell anybody, that there's a 10-mile lake that is formed in Death Valley from all the rain. That's because I don't want you to tell anybody, because the government's oppressing the Californians with insane water bills, and they charge you more and more for what you use. They want to go after you for using your dishwasher, you know, washing your clothes and taking a shower in the same day. They want to charge you $1,000 if you're excessively using water. But they've had so much water and they're doing nothing in capturing and trying to manage it, even if they think they had a crisis, but they have been overran by water. They're going to have one of those water years. When we lived down there, Where I lived, we had almost 50 inches of rain during that one rain season. 50 inches, that's a lot of rain. And they're claiming that they're so short in water that they're going after everybody. This is just ridiculous. One last thing, and I think it's a cultural thing, but I think this is a good thing. Another American invasion into Britain's culture, into their uptight culture. Let me caveat that. Country music is now available on a nationwide radio station because country music is starting to become popular. And I think that's a good thing. Who knows? They may actually demand, the Brits may actually demand for their gun rights back. Who knows, right? So anyway, let me get back into these resolutions. And yesterday I was getting into Resolution 8. And this is a very significant resolution. These are the Kentucky resolutions, what Jefferson wrote when the government passed the Sedition Acts, which were acts that made certain speech illegal. And they were going after fining people and throwing people in jail. And so Friday and yesterday, I pretty much focused trying to go through these. I just have these last two resolutions. And the most important resolution is the 8th. Because most people miss this. This is where Jefferson says we need to establish, and I'm just paraphrasing, we need to establish committees for correspondence and conference so that we can start communicating, working together, and coordinating an effort in rebuking the federal government. And I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm paraphrasing, but this is how he says this, that a committee of correspondence or that a committee of conference and correspondence be appointed who shall have in charge to communicate the preceding resolutions to the legislatures of the several states to assure them that this commonwealth continues in the same esteem of their friendship and union, which it is manifested from that moment at which a common danger first suggested a common union. That it considers union for specified national purposes and particularly to those specified in their late federal compact to be friendly to the peace, happiness, and prosperity of all the states, that faithful to that compact according to the plain intent and meaning in which it was understood and acceded or agreed to by the several parties, it is sincerely anxious for its preservation. That it does also believe, that this Commonwealth does also believe, that to take from the states all the powers of self-government and transfer them to a general and consolidated government without regard to the special delegations and reservations solemnly agreed to in that compact, is not for the peace, happiness, or prosperity of these states, and that therefore this commonwealth is determined, as it doubts not its co-states, are to submit to undelegated and consequently, unlimited powers in no man or body of men on earth, that in cases of an abuse of the delegated powers, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy, but where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of this is a rightful remedy that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact. And he has a Latin term, casus non federalis, to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits without that without this right, they would be under the dominion absolute and unlimited of whatsoever might exercise this right of judgment for them. That nevertheless, this commonwealth, from motives of regard and respect to its co-states, has wished to communicate with them on this subject. And so what he's doing is he's basically saying, we as a state, we want to create these committees of correspondence and conference, so that we can start communicating with you. We as a state recognize that all of this is unconstitutional and illegal, and we're voiding this. We do not recognize these as lawful laws, and that we want, and like he says here, now that we want to communicate with you to moving forward. And so from motives regarding on the subject that with them alone, it is proper. Well, I just ran out of time for this segment, so I'll have to finish this and the last one. We're almost through this, but I want you to know that this is really powerful stuff, that Jefferson is shifting the paradigm from having a centralized government that we're kind of under the impression, and we're not under a delegated government. We'll be right back after this, folks. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let me pick up where we left off. And again, this is where Jefferson is really calling, and this resolution and the next resolution is where he calls for getting organized and getting moving. That with them alone, it is proper to communicate. And he's talking about within the states and these committees. The proper that they communicate, they alone being parties to the compact. All these states, obviously all 50 states are parties to the compact, and solely authorized to judge in the last resort of the powers exercised under it. Congress being not a party, but merely the creature of the compact and subject as to its assumptions of power to the final judgment of those whom and for whose use itself and its powers were all created and modified, that if the acts before specified should stand, these conclusions would flow from them, that the general government may place any act they think proper on the list of crimes and punish it themselves, whether enumerated or not. You see what's happened, folks? They've been doing this, and it's all unconstitutional. Let me go on. By the Constitution as cognizable by them, that they may transfer its cognizance to the president or any other member, like a non-elected bureaucrat, who may himself be the accuser, counsel, judge, and jury, whose suspicions may be the evidence, his order of the sentence, his officer, the executioner, and his breast, the sole record of the transaction, that a very numerous and valuable description of the inhabitants of these states being, by this precedent, reduced as outlaws to the absolute dominion of one man and the barrier of the Constitution thus swept away from us, no ramparts now remains against the passions and the powers of a majority in Congress to protect from a like exportation or other more grievous punishment. The minority of the same body, the legislatures, judges, governors, and counselors of the states, nor other peaceable inhabitants who may venture to reclaim the constitutional rights and liberties of the states and people, or who are other causes, good or bad, may be obnoxious to the views or marked by the suspicions of the president or be thought dangerous to his or their election or other interest. A lot of this is played out just recently with this whole collusion and everything else. And anyway, let me keep moving on. Or other interest, public or personal, that the friendliness that the alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of a first experiment, but the citizen will soon follow, or rather has already followed, for already has a sedition act marked him as its prey, that these and successive acts of the same character, unless arrested at the threshold, necessarily drive these states into revolution and blood, and will furnish new calamities against Republican government and new pretext for those who wish it. To be believed that man cannot be governed by a rod of iron. It would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That the confidence is everywhere that the parent of despotism, free government, is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power, that our Constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no further other confidences may go, and let the honest advocate of confidence read the Alien and Sedition Acts and say if the Constitution has not been wise in fixing limits to the government it created, and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits, let him say what the government is. Now, I'm going to take a quick pause here because I want you to be clear. I want you to understand this, that we have never delegated unlimited powers to this day. We have never given the general powers of legislation to Congress to this date. They are still held by the enumerated powers. Now, they're not following it, and they've been violating the Constitution for 200 years easily. And so I want you to be very clear on this. I'm trying to be very clear so that you understand that even though Thomas Jefferson kind of got, you know, everybody woke up and did a paradigm shift in 1798 because he ended up unseating John Adams to be the next president in 1800. And so America kind of saw what happened, and what they did from these resolutions went out and moved forward. That was the success of these revolutions, but these resolutions ended up becoming a failure. Bottom line, what he was trying to do was he was trying to get the states together to rebuke and to force the federal government back into compliance. So I move on, and he says, if it not be a tyranny which the men of our choice have con-erred on our president, and the president of our choice has assented to and accepted over the friendly stranger to whom the mild spirit of our country and its laws have pledged hospitality and protection, that the men of our choice have more respected the bare suspicion of the president than the solid right of innocence, the claims of justification, the sacred force of truth, and the forms and substance of law and justice. in questions of power, then let no more be heard in confidence in man, but bind him down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution, that this Commonwealth does therefore call on its co-states for an expression of their sentiments on the acts concerning. And so what he's basically doing, again, he's calling on them to say, hey, don't you agree with us? Aren't you going to be willing to step up? And I'm going to take a quick pause on this. And this is what Republic Review is doing. Once Wyoming audits the Constitution, they don't have to audit it. They can actually, you know, there are two ways of forcing your contract, right? You can audit it. You can go through it just like what Jefferson did, go through the T's and dot the I's and all of that. Or you can just blanketly say, hey, all of these things are unconstitutional. And you prime subcontractor, you government, because we don't believe we've delegated any of these powers. We see what our delegated powers are. Prove to us that we have delegated as the states and the principal stakeholders of this contract. Prove to us that we have delegated these powers to you, because we do not have record of it. And so you can always just shift the burden to the federal government. I think the audit is the best way to go, because you clearly identify how much tyranny we're living under. And he moves on and says, and it doubts not that their sense we announced as to prove their attachment unaltered to limits, to limited government, whether general or particular, and that the rights and liberties of their co-states will be exposed to no dangers by remaining embarked in a common bottom with their own, that they will concur with this Commonwealth in considering the said facts as so palpably against the Constitution as to amount to an undisguised declaration that compact is not meant to be the measure of its powers of the general government, but it will proceed in the exercise over these states of all powers whatsoever, that they will view this as seizing the rights of the states and consolidating them in the hands of the general government with a power assumed to bind the states. I mean, he's almost a drama queen the way he's going on. But anyway, not merely as the cases made federal, casus federalis, but in all cases whatsoever by laws made not with their consent, but by others against their consent, that this would be the surrender, the form of government we have chosen and to live and deriving our power, blah, blah, blah. There's just a couple more lines. I'm almost out of time. But what I want to tell you is the very last resolution is the critical one, because, and it says this, resolved that the said committee be authorized to communicate by writing or personal conference at any times or places whatever with any person or persons who may be appointed by any one or more co-states to correspond or confer with them, that they may lay their proceedings before the next session of assembly. Now, so what he was doing here was he's basically granting Durloth for all of the delegates, or I should say all of the representatives within Kentucky, and requesting that Durloth be granted to all, that all states could then openly communicate without having to, you know, be appointed to say, yeah, let me go here. And what that kind of means, because back in those days, they were very constrained. A delegate couldn't go anywhere until they were delegated, and then they could be compensated, because, you know, money was very tight back then. And so they didn't have great salaries or anything else. And during the Constitutional Convention, there was commonly 4 to 6 men in a room sharing a room because they had to save money, because their states weren't paying a lot of money for the boondoggle, because it wasn't a boondoggle. It was a lot of work. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and we'll be back. Don't forget, we'll have Orlean next week, or tomorrow, I mean.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.